Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Cypre Awards, Statutory Violations, and Standing Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On March 20th, 2019, the Supreme Court decided Frank v. Gauss, a case raising the question whether or under what circumstances a Cypre Award that provides no direct relief to class members fulfills the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 23E requirement that a class action settlement be fair, reasonable, and adequate. In a class action suit with three named plaintiffs, Google was accused of violating the Stored Communications Act by sharing user search terms and other information with the server hosting whatever web page that user clicked to via Google search results. A settlement was reached that would require Google to include certain disclosures on some of its web pages and would distribute more than $5 million to Cypre recipients, more than $2 million to class counsel, and no money to absent class members. The district court approved the settlement over the objections of several class members, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit affirmed. The Supreme Court then granted cert to address petitioners' challenge that this Cypre settlement did not satisfy the Rule 23E requirement that class action settlements be fair, reasonable, and adequate, but did not ultimately reach the merits of that question. In a per curiam opinion, the court vacated the judgment of the Ninth Circuit and remanded the case for further proceeding to determine whether the class action plaintiffs even had standing to bring their class action in light of the Supreme Court's 2016 decision, Spokio v. Robbins. That case held that Article III standing requires a concrete injury even in the context of a statutory violation. Here, the court indicated, the lower courts needed to resolve whether any named plaintiff has alleged Stored Communications Act violations that are sufficiently concrete and particularized to support standing. If not, the lack of standing would deprive the federal courts of subject matter jurisdiction in this case. Justice Thomas dissented. And now, to discuss the case, we have Theodore Frank, Director of Litigation and Senior Attorney with Hamilton Lincoln Law Institute, and one of the named petitioners in this case.
Frank v. Gauss was considerably briefer than we had hoped, but still has interesting implications. And I will not end the battle over Cypre in the Supreme Court. Just as background, of course, the underlying litigation was a class action brought against Google for alleged violations of the Stored Communications Act, alleging that Google's practice of sharing referrer headers with targeted websites when you click on a search result in Google violated the Stored Communications Act and subjected them to statutory damages. Beyond the possible problems of the factual allegations, this had survived a motion to dismiss, and Google decided, along with class counsel or putative class counsel, to settle the case before any further briefing or litigation had been done. The settlement did not provide any money to the allegedly injured class members, of whom there were some 120 million or so, but did pay the attorneys over $2 million. The parties rationalized this by saying that there was going to be $5 million or so that would be given to what is known as Cypre, whereby parties agree rather than paying class members, they will pay third-party charities. Melissa Holyoke and I objected to this settlement as class members, noting that in addition to failing to provide the class anything, even as Cypre, it was questionable because many of the recipients were already affiliated with Google, and indeed two of them were the alma maters of class counsel, including Harvard and Chicago Kent Law School. The district court at the fairness hearing suggested that none of this passed the smell test, but feeling bound by a previous Ninth Circuit precedent, Lane versus Facebook, it approved the settlement, and the Ninth Circuit follows suit in affirming in a 2-1 decision, again following Lane versus Facebook, saying that it would not be feasible to pay all 129 million class members with only $8 million or so in the pot, and therefore an all Cypre settlement was acceptable. And then by a 2-1 vote, deciding that the district court did enough to determine that there wasn't a conflict of interest in terms of attorneys funneling money to their own alma maters. This presented a circuit split with other cases. We had one challenging Cypre in the 3rd, 7th, and 8th Circuit, as well as an outstanding 5th Circuit opinion. The Supreme Court had previously, when on a cert petition in Lane versus Facebook called Subnom Mark v. Lane, Justice Roberts had written an opinion respecting the denial of certiorari, suggesting that the court might need to take up the issue in the future because of the substantial questions it raised. And taking that invitation in a cert petition ably written by attorney Andrew Grossman, the Supreme Court did grant cert last April, and it was argued October 31st. At the oral argument, you might recall the panel was particularly enamored with an argument that the Solicitor General had made, that the underlying lawsuit did not satisfy Article III jurisdiction, that plaintiffs had failed to allege a concrete injury under Spokio versus Robbins. None of the lower courts had addressed Spokio when the district court decided that the parties had standing. It was relying on Edwards versus First Financial, which held that the mere creation of a cause of action by Congress was sufficient to create standing, proposition rejected by Spokio, which held that while an intangible injury might satisfy Article III case or controversy requirement, it had to be concrete, even if it was intangible. Of course, you look up concrete in the dictionary and it means tangible, so it's not clear what the parameters of concrete but intangible are. However, the Ninth Circuit never reached that question, even though it was flagged for it in a 28J letter filed by Google. And so at oral argument, much of the time was spent asking the parties where they stood on the Spokio question, and the court very quickly asked for two additional rounds of briefing on that question. I did not think that there was that much of a problem with standing, though the lower courts did not appropriately apply the correct standard. There was Supreme Court precedent in a number of cases, such as Doe v. Chow, where the allegation of a concrete injury was enough to get you within the courthouse door, even if you might want to throw the case out for lack of failure to prove the injury, that there is a distinction between the allegation of a concrete injury and actually having to delve into the factual basis for that. The court, in its per curiam opinion, an 8-1 decision that it released Wednesday, held, well, we're a court of review, not a first review, and therefore we're remanding it to the Ninth Circuit to adjudicate where this stands with respect to Spokio. Justice Thomas dissented. Following his Spokio concurrence, he argued that standing should turn on the private right versus public right distinction, which is, unlike Spokio, a nice bright line rule that's easy to apply by lower courts. And under that distinction, there would be standing, there would be Article III jurisdiction, and then he would reach the merits and then very quickly rattled off all of the problems with this, that it wouldn't be fair under 23E for the attorneys to be paid with the class app not being paid. There's a 23A4 problem when the attorneys are diverting money to Cypre rather than to the class. And indeed, there's a superiority problem under Rule 23B3 in that it's hard to call a class action a superior means of resolving the litigation if you're claiming that no money can be delivered to the class. And indeed, the nature of our objection was, yes, you can't give money to every single class member, but next to no class action ever bothers to try to give money to every single class member. Instead, they set up a claims process. And even when the average claim where the average amount of money, if it was to be divided among every single class member, is only pennies, as it is here, parties find that a claims process can readily provide $5, $10 per class member because so few class members bother to submit claims in any given class action. And even if for some reason the claims process is oversubscribed, you could hold a lottery to distribute the sums to some fraction of the claiming class members. Not necessarily a $5 million award for one class member, but you know, you could certainly give out $5,000, $1,000 awards or $50,000, $100 awards or something like that. However, the court, of course, did not reach that issue and has remanded to the Ninth Circuit. So where are we on Cypre? Well, it's hard to imagine that the lower courts are going to find that there isn't standing here. No appellate court has thrown out a case in this posture for lack of standing. Even Spokio on remand, the Ninth Circuit found, yes, there is Article III standing to make the allegations that Spokio suggested did not provide standing, and then the Supreme Court denied cert the second time around. While Google, using the Supreme Court oral argument, the same attorney that argued Spokio, once again reiterated its attempt to claim that there is no intangible injury that Congress could create Article III standing for in a civil litigation unless that injury or cause of action existed at the time of the founding, and privacy injuries do not rise to that standard. The Supreme Court did not adopt that in Spokio, and no lower court has followed suit. And indeed, there's an 11th Circuit opinion that was decided over the course of last year, holding that the allegation of the concrete injury was sufficient at the class action settlement stage under Lujan to create Article III standing. So I suspect the Ninth Circuit will eventually, or the lower courts will eventually, find standing here, and then we'll be submitting another certiorari petition right back up to the Supreme Court. And it's possible that Google will also, once they lose on the standing question, which I think is an important question, and now one that the Supreme Court has punted on three times. In this case, to a certain extent in Spokio, where it remanded without giving especially clear guidance. And earlier than that, First American Financial versus Edgewood, where it dismissed cert as improvidently granted on appeal from the Ninth Circuit Edgewood's decision that is discussed earlier. But even before Frank v. Gauss, too, might get back up before the Supreme Court, we have another cert petition pending now, case number 18-1074, Perryman versus Romero, which is an interesting case. It's a settlement where they created a $12 million cash fund. The attorneys get $9 million of it, and the class can claim from the other $3 million. But they made the claims process in such a way that only 0.2% of the class claimed anything, and over 99% of the class would be getting coupons only, and then these coupons for flower delivery services that expire in a year and aren't good for Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or Christmas. Class isn't getting very much while the attorneys are getting $9 million and then $200,000 in cash going to the class and then another $3 million going to endow chairs at local San Diego universities in the defendant's name. We suggested that this was a problem given that there are so many uncompensated class members for so much money to be diverted to Cypre, 15 times as much as what the class is getting. The Ninth Circuit, again, following Lane versus Facebook, in contrast to all of the other circuits that rule on these questions, upheld that part of the settlement, though they remanded on the question of attorney's fees. And so we've filed for cert in that case, and there's no question of standing there because the underlying allegation is one of consumer fraud and financial damages. So whatever vehicle problems might have existed in Frank v. Gauss will not exist in Perryman versus Romero, and it brings forward the broader case of the appropriateness of Cypre, not just in the scenario where the limited scenario where $0 is going to the class, but in a broader scenario of where the class is getting some token amount of money and non-financial relief, but most of the a disproportionate amount of money is going to Cypre that could be feasibly distributed to the class. And indeed, if the lower court reduces attorney's fees, the Cypre could grow to as much as $9 million. And with about 1 million class members, all of whom are not only readily identifiable, but are already getting a distribution of coupons from the settlement, there's no reason that a check couldn't also be issued. I think the only thing that's happened here is that the ultimate day of reckoning for Cypre has been postponed. Either Perryman or Frank v. Gauss too will raise the issue again. Indeed, there's a Third Circuit case pending involving another Google settlement that's almost identical to the Gauss settlement over a settlement over Google's use of cookies on Apple iPhones. And the Third Circuit delayed ruling on that until Gauss came down, but that could potentially work its way up to the Supreme Court also, either because there's a circuit split with the Ninth Circuit or because they join the Ninth Circuit and sign off on a bad settlement. And there's another Google settlement in the Northern District of California that was put on hold until Gauss was decided. So there are plenty of other Cypre settlements out there that the court can consider eventually. And with Justice Thomas now vocally speaking on this, in addition to the justices who were very vocally skeptical of it at oral argument, there does seem to be a majority ready to reject the practice. And I think that will deter future Cypre settlements that aren't already in the pipeline.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.